man. All right, we're... let me turn this mic on. Am I already on? Is Red Mean on? Oh, hello. Amen. Well, it's good to be here, and it's the first time I ever preached in this church, believe it or not. See, when I first moved to Colorado, I introduced myself to my pastor, and I said, hey, my dad's a pastor out in Rhode Island. He's like, oh, do you preach? And I was like, I can. He's like, let me rephrase it. Are you called to preach? And I didn't want to lie, so I said, yes. And so then, at the time, we had probably four or five different preachers in the church. So I was like, he'll never ask me. But then one time, at a Sunday afternoon, he says, you're preaching Wednesday. I'm like, what? I have work, all the stuff, thinking of excuses, but I said, okay. And this isn't the message that he asked me to preach, but this is one I did back in Sunday school, and I just praise the Lord that ever since then. See, being in the military has made me more comfortable speaking in front of people, so you can do that tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're somewhat observant tonight, you notice that I have maybe some additional baggage with me, so to speak. And then this backpack as well. No, but one thing, being in the military, if you're thinking about joining the military, you need to know this one thing. You're going to run, and you're going to run a lot. And it's not, sometimes it's going to hurt, and you're not going to like it. Well, the Bible actually talks about running, believe it or not. And those of you who are familiar with Hebrews chapter 12 will notice. But if you all stand, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin in verse number 1 in Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Oh, okay. Step 1. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, may be seated. You see, there's a race that has to be run. In the Christian life, if you're saved here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're running a race. And it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Now, I've never run a marathon. I've run a couple miles before, but that's the way the Christian life is. It's a marathon. But before you can even get started, just like I came in and I was shaking hands with my backpack on and my burdens on and my weight and my sin, I bet tonight there's someone in here with a spiritual burden on themselves. When I shook their hand, or when you shook their hand, they had something you couldn't even see. You could see mine because it was physical, but you don't know what's going on in someone's heart. You don't know that maybe the thing is weighing you down is keeping you from running the race. So before you can even start, you don't want any weight or sin. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's Jesus talking. So first, before you begin the race, understand that you have to lay aside your burdens and your sin and your weight and give it to Jesus. Matthew 11:29, Jesus talking again says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." And verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, a lot of times in the Christian race, in the Christian walk, in this marathon of Christianity, we get burdened down and dragged down and we're falling out because it's heavy and we can't run at the speed that we need to. And then we start walking. Don't ever walk in a military formation run. That's the worst thing you could ever do. I'm just telling you right now. I was too scared to. I never did. I was too scared to because I heard people. And then they make you go to the front where you have to be faster than everybody else. Or be a road guard where you have to run back and run forward and do all kinds of crazy things. So never fall out of a formation because you're walking. Or stand because it's hard. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So there's a proper place where you can dispose of your burdens and your sin. And it's not at Gillette Stadium. It's not at the bar down the street or at Applebee's. It's right at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray before we get into the message. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we pray that we would learn something from your word tonight, and that you would show us truth, and that you would, Lord, speak through me, not let me and myself get in the way of what you have for me tonight, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So also, if you notice in verse number one, once you lay aside your weight and your sin, you have to run with patience. Now, that's exactly what you have to do in a marathon. Most marathons are anywhere from 2, 3, maybe even 4 hours. It's not easy. It's not a short race, like a 30-second sprint. It's a marathon. You got to keep going. You got to keep moving on. You got to keep going. And you got to run with patience. It takes you need to be patient in this race we call Christianity. And James chapter 1, verse 2 is talking, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing that this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, then be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The trying of your faith, difficulties and tests and trials in your life is testing your patience. And when you're presented with this test, know that you need to keep on. Keep on running. Keep on running through it. If you get wearied down and bogged down with the burdens and cares of life, you're not going to be able to make it through. You got to cast those and give those to Jesus. A lot of times, we'll do what I did. We'll put my burden down and then we'll pick it up. Just like, God, I don't like the way you handled that burden. Just wasn't how I would do it. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, when I was in basic military training, right, it hurt. You ever run, you get that pain in your side, and you're like, ah. You know, Shane, you've gotten that before. You have. I would scream that verse on the track, believe it or not. And people are like, but it didn't matter what you were talking about, as long as you weren't like slow and talking, as long as you were going. But I'm like, ah, better wait upon, ah, the Lord. Screaming, and this people are like looking at me like, get away from this guy. But it gave me room to run, so I like that. I was like, because there was like probably 400 of us running at one time. It was crazy. But notice right here, this says, "They that wait upon the Lord." Now, we like to think prepositions are super duper important, because the Bible doesn't say "they that wait for the Lord." It says "wait upon," like a waiter or a waitress. Because anybody can just go waiting for the Lord, like a bus, waiting for the Lord bus. But what it really means is be ready for when God calls and say, "Yes, Lord, what do you need? You need me to do this? You need me to do that?" So waiting upon is different than waiting for. And the Bible says waiting upon the Lord, like a waiter, like a servant. We learned on Wednesday night, we need to be servants. God didn't call us to be the big, huge leaders and the big, huge super Christians kicking in the doors and be like, "Jesus is here," whether you like it or not. No. He wants you to be a willing, loyal servant. There are a few things, though, when running a race that you need. First of all, you got to be running on the proper path. Now, there are a lot of different types of running. You've got trail running, track running. You can do uphill, downhill. Some people will only run downhill. I wonder why. There are different kinds of running that you could do. Different distances. There's 10Ks, 5Ks, half marathons, full marathons. And there's a different combinations. You could do like a mud runner, a trail run, all those different kinds of things that test your endurance, have different types of challenges for each race. And so for the Christian, you have to choose your terrain carefully, because it's very easy to get on the wrong path. So number one, the proper path. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, we'll find the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, a lot of people will just do whatever feels good and whatever they think is right. The Bible says it goes from a singular, whatever way, to the ways of death. Right? So you say, well, this is my way. And somebody else says, this is my way. Somebody else says, this is my way. And God says, this is my way. Those are the ways of death. You know, each person may have their own way, but there's only one way. Those are all those other ways are the ways of death. And it's very important to keep in mind. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So our path, our terrain, is supposed to be straight and narrow. It's not the other ways of the world. It's not the ways that, oh, I think this is right. Well, what does the Bible say? What does God say about your way? And that's what makes the difference, because there's a lot of people going their own way, but they all lead up to the same place, and that's called hell. But there's only one way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. Whew. So, first thing, before you're even in the race, you have to be going down the right path, that straight and narrow. And if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going down a way that is the ways of death. It's not good. And you need to be on the right path, because you could be running the race and doing all the right things, but if you're going the wrong way, it will do you no good. So that's number one. Another thing we need is the proper fuel. Let me go in my no longer bag of burden, but bag of many props. If anybody's ran without drinking water, they know that they didn't do very well. I'm just telling you right now. You need to be able to properly hydrate when you're running. It's imperative. Don't do what I do and like, oh, I got to go for a run and I haven't drank enough water. And then right before you go for a run, you like chug a gallon of water. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it, because you're going to cramp up and you're probably going to see that water again. Because you're supposed to be hydrated beforehand. Have the water inside beforehand. Let's turn to John chapter 4 and verse 14. John chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." Talking here to the woman at the well, I believe. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life." We need that water that springs up into everlasting life. You see, if you're not hydrated with the water of the Word, you're not going to be any good running your race. You're going to fall out. No one wants to fall out, because again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Oh, I'm just supernova Christian. And then you're gone. No, that's not how it works. You have to be properly hydrated before you start cramping up and things start hurting. Because it's going to hurt without Jesus in your life and without the proper fuel and proper hydration, spiritually speaking. You need to have that water of life daily. Not that we get saved over and over and over and over again, but that we need to be refreshed by the water of the Word every day. Super important, because then our joints won't function properly, spiritually speaking. We won't be able to move in God's direction, and we'll be like, it just hurts to run the race. Because a lot of people fall out because they're not properly hydrated. They're not properly in the Word of God. They're not letting Christ properly fuel their body. It's super important to be able to have that water of the Word, and being close to Jesus is how you do that. Not only do you need your water, you need a carbo load. Jesus said unto them, in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You need to feast on the bread of life daily. Because to endure a marathon, you talk about runners, they'll have pasta a couple days before, a whole bunch of pasta, or they'll carbo load or do something for energy later on in the race. Now, again, not the 10 minutes before the race, do it a little bit before, but you need to have that preparation where you have that bread of life. Your bread is a carb. I love carbs. Shane, you know I do. Right? But carbohydrates equate to the proper fuel, to fueling your body to get where it needs to go. We use protein to build our muscles, but we use a carbohydrate for energy. We need the energy of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, who's going to get us to the next day, get us through the next mile, get us through the next 20 steps. Because you know what? Sometimes you can't focus on it. I'm only on mile 3 and I got 23 more to go. Well, why don't we just take it 1 mile at a time? Don't fall out. Just keep going. Come on. Just keep going. As long as you're moving forward, just keep going. Keep going. You need the proper fuel, the proper hydration, the proper carbohydrates. Oh, this one's going to be good. We also need the proper footwear. I'm going to do it. You see, running, you can't just wear whatever you want. Work boots or go barefoot or whatever. You need to have the right... move this up. You need to have the right footwear on. Because you know what? It's going to make a difference in your joints later on. I had this pair of ASICS sneakers. And every time I wore them, we were running, we'd do a 5 or 10K. And I'd be like, my knees, my ankles, my thigh, everything hurts. I don't know why. I'm like, I'm old already. So then I forgot all my PT gear at home one day, and I called my wife to get me some. And she's like, I'm not going to get you clothes. I'm just going to go to the store and buy you new stuff. I said, okay, that's fine. Because she was going out with her friends. So then she bought me these new sneakers that I'm putting on right now. I didn't have any more problems. Because the footwear matters. What you have on your feet matters. And you're like, well, that's weird. Wearing your sneakers in a suit, you weirdo. So, just, you won't forget, and that's why I'm doing it. See, the proper footwear for a Christian should be running, right? Not only to get somewhere on the straight and narrow, but to bring others with you. And if you don't have the proper footwear, you won't have the proper focus to bring others with you. Part of the armor of God, Ephesians 6:15, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So when you're running, you're not just focused, you're not blocking everybody out just running. This is me, leave me alone. I'm just running my race. A lot of Christians want to do that. I'm running my race. I don't really care about your race. I don't care that you're going against me and going on the broad path to destruction. I'm just going. But you can't do that. Sorry. That's not what God has commanded Christians to do. That's not God's plan. You have the proper footwear, being mindful of going and bringing people with you on your race. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Don't fall out. Let's keep going. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they call on him who have they not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, everybody can be a preacher in their own right and way. Not everybody can come up and preach to you like I'm preaching now, or my dad or my brother or my grandfather or somebody, but everybody can preach the gospel to someone. So he said, I'm not called to preach. Well, yes, you are. Everybody's called to preach. You may not be called to be a preacher and per se, but God has called you to preach the gospel. Amen? And verse 15, it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings of good things. You see, we have the proper footwear on. These aren't very attractive sneakers. They're muddy and ugly and probably pretty stinky if I got close enough. But beautiful? What? Feet aren't beautiful? That's gross. Feet are weird and stinky and gross. But the Bible says those who are bringing the gospel, they need it. Imagine somebody in a far distant land, South Africa or South America or Africa or Asia or somewhere, and a missionary comes and brings the gospel and they get saved. How beautiful is that, that they're bringing the gospel. They cared enough to forsake the world and everything that America or wherever they were from had to offer, and they went maybe to lose their life, like in the case of Nate Saint. But then for people to get saved and their whole eternity's changed because they brought the gospel. You see? We have to have the gospel in mind in the race, not just going. Not take your earbuds out. I don't like to run with music because you get distracted. You get hit by a car, first of all. That's how you can get hit by a car. I'm just telling you. I have never done it because I take them out. Write that down, someone. But running also is not just... you're not just running for running's sake and moving for movement's sake, right? We have the proper fuel, we have the proper footwear, we have the proper path, but we need the proper form and the proper focus. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. So if you ever run, you can't run like this, right? If you're running, you can't keep your, don't put your head down. That's going to restrict your airway. And you can't get the proper breathing pattern down. And you're going to start cramping up again, and things are going to go bad. Keep your head up. They said, look to the horizon, keep your head up. Back slightly forward, and move like that. There's a lot of people running the race like, I just want to get through. Don't look at me. Or don't want to look at Jesus. And don't want to lift up their head and look at their help. Hebrews 12:2 from our main text. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We should be looking towards Jesus with our head up. You know, the Bible equated the Holy Spirit to the wind and the air. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit can come out. But if we restrict that and we're looking at our circumstances around us, we can't let God work and move, and we're restricting how He's working in our lives. And we're more prone and we're more likely to fall out of the race because we're focused on the things of this earth, things of the world. Not only do you keep your head up, but you're also supposed to run on the balls of your feet right there. Run on the balls of your feet. And when you do that, you're not staying in one place too long. Each point in time, you're just moving right along. But when you're walking, you kind of just stay where you're at. When you're running, you're getting out there and you're just moving along. Your feet aren't tied down. And 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, we get so worried about what the world says and what the world does, and we get so worried about the world and how what people think, and that's not normal, and that's weird, and how you're different, and well, so what? I know I'm weird. Old news. Didn't bother me when, you know, the first 1,000 people said it. It's not going to bother me when you say it. I know it. It's okay, though. Also, the Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, don't get bogged down with what the world has to offer. Just move right through it. Because you know what? You have a better reward later on. Don't stay in one place. Say, oh, I just need to camp out right here and not worry about eternity right now, because this is what I can see, this is what I can test, this is what I can prove, this is what I can show you. No, just keep moving on and don't get comfortable in the world. We also see right here that we need to walk in the light. Let's go back to my prop bag. Now, this isn't quite what I'm used to, but it'll have to do. See, when we run in the military, we have to use a reflective belt. It's weird, I know. But so we don't get hit by cars. I guess it's an epidemic. People getting hit by cars. Right? So you got this. So if you ever shine a light onto a reflective belt, it's pretty shiny, pretty bright, and you're not going to miss it. And if you do, it's your fault. Because I am wearing this. There's no way I can break a leg or have a stroke or anything because I have this on. Or at least maybe that's how the military thinks. Well, he broke his leg right there. He tripped over a log. Was he wearing a reflective belt? Well, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a sunny day. Doesn't matter. Force field. Force field of protection. I don't know. It must be some kind of emerging technologies, I guess. But one thing you need to notice about the reflective belt, the reflection gear, is that it doesn't give off any light of its own. Right? This is not, maybe infrared, but we're not getting into that. This is not giving off light of its own. Okay, if you just hung me out there with no lights, you wouldn't be able to see it. In the darkness of the world, we have to be reflective of something, a greater light that is in us. We have to walk in the light. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So God is the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, a lot of us are wearing reflective belts, but we're not letting the light get to us. And we're walking in darkness. And we're running in darkness so the world can't see us. Because we're like covert Christians. Christian. Like, so probably the worst insult is like, "Oh, you're a Christian? I never knew that. You've been here for like 3 years and you're a Christian? Oh, I didn't know that." No, you need to make sure people know about you. Not that you're in their face and you're obnoxious about it. But it should be something a little bit different when somebody's sees you down the road. There should be a little bit. We were at the gym, and Shane did this perfectly. The Lord did it perfectly. There was the guy working the gym counter with me and Shane. He said, "You know, you guys are just so nice, and I just want to help you out." And Shane says, "You know what? It's not me that's nice. It's not me. Whatever you see, you think you like in me. It's God." Amen. See, he's letting that reflection bounce off so the world sees. It's not about, "Oh, look how bright I can shine." You're going to get a sunburn. Take it easy. It's not about how bright you can make yourself shine, because you're not shining. You're just reflecting. You're just reflecting off a greater light than yourself. So don't get caught up in, "I need to be this bright." Just let that light reflect. And the people will see, and you don't have to worry about it. Because we're running in a dark world, and that's where faith comes in as well. This is extra, this is part of my... But running in the dark, you don't know what the next step's going to be. If it's going to be, if you need to turn, if there's a rock, if there's a ditch, if there's a deer, you don't know, because you're running in darkness. And so God gives us enough light to see where we're at and see a little bit ahead of us. But we want to know eons, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Give me all the light. Show me exactly what you have for me, Lord. That's not, it doesn't work like that. Because we're running in a dark place. So that's where the faith comes in. We need to trust him that he's going to lead us. And when God says move, we just need to do it. Because there could be a ditch, or there could be a rock, or there could be a deer, or whatever in our path that's going to trip us up. There could be more burdens that we left, you know, 6 miles that way, and they ended up in front of us again. And we don't know how they got there, but then we're tempted to pick them up again. Because there's always that temptation to pick those back up. Take them from Jesus and say, "No, God, you don't know." Yeah, right. We also need to make sure our blood is flowing. Because you can't move your arms, you can't move your legs if there's no getting no blood to your muscles. You can't move. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Colossians 1:10 says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasings, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to the patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in his light, whom he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into his kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, we need to let Christ's blood flow in our lives and remember that, hey, sometimes we'll mess up. Sometimes we'll make mistakes. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and because that we allow his blood to flow through us, not in our physical body, but in our lives, that we can be more than conquerors, like was mentioned in Sunday school. We can be victorious in our Christian walks daily by letting Jesus Christ in the blood that was shed. It's very important when it comes to the blood. Because if you didn't have blood, guess what? You'd be dead. And if you didn't have Christ's blood, guess what? You'd be spiritually dead. And you wouldn't be even in the race. You'd just be off on the side with no life. Or a zombie going to the path of destruction. I don't want to be a spiritual zombie. All right. You also need the proper running partners. I'm going to have Mo, Larry, and Curly come on up. Let's go. Yeah, you know who you are. If you've done any time in RU, you're probably pretty familiar with what I'm about to show you in Psalm 1. But it's super important. Psalm chapter 1. Everyone can turn there if they'd like. All right, so we talk about the blessed man and when he's running, right? You don't want to walk because it's pretty embarrassing when you get chewed out for walking, right? So Satan wants you to do nothing more than stop running the race. He doesn't care how, he doesn't care when, he just wants you to. He wants you to stop running the race and fall out. And he's going to do that with worldly people. And the Bible says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Because the worst thing you can do is to start walking when you're supposed to be running. So I'm going to have Mr. Ungodly Counsel walk about and just give ungodly counsel. See? And then I'm coming and I'm running. And then I'm like, what was that?
Ungodly counsel.
Oh, that's pretty good in godly counsel. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But even worse than that is we got Mr. Stand in the Way of Sinners over here. Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, you're sitting in the seat. Miss Stand in the Way of Sinners over here. So come over here. So then, when you're running and then you come to a complete stop, keep going, man, you're doing great. Right? When you're running and then you stop, that's real bad. Because you don't let your body cool down and then crazy things happen. You start getting dizzy and whatnot. And then you could like overwork your heart and that will be really bad. But so you come to a run and then you start walking, then you just stand. You're not going forward for Christ anymore. You're just stagnant. Right? And then we start doing sin. Sinner. Keep saying it. Sinner. No, you stand in the way of sinners. So sinner. See, right? So there's many temptations. Keep saying it. Ungodly counsel and then the way of sinners. You see, the world, they don't know that they're doing it. Or maybe they do. Some of them do. But they're trying to get you to stop running. And they can't. So if I run past you, I'm like, what'd you say? Oh, the sin. Gossip, lies and terrible things. Could you believe that Shane is bald again? Why doesn't he get Bosley for once and for all? I'm just so sick of him thinking he's so spiritual, how he's more reflective than us because of his baldness. You see? We start getting in the way of sinners or in the counsel of the ungodly, right? But then we start sitting. Keep going. Then we start. He's a perfect candidate for this. And then we sit in the seat of the scornful right here. Perfect. Epitome of a scornful right here. Mom and Dad can attest. Right? So then we start being critical and saying, oh, I can't believe the pastor this, and I can't believe the church is this, and we just need this and that and this and... like a pirate. So we get scornful, so scorn me.
Scorn.
Yeah, see? We start scorning. And then sinner. And then before you know it, you're sitting with the seat of the scornful, and you're not running the race. You're tripping other people up now. You said, I saw him running, and now he's sitting. Why do I have to run now? Why can't I scorn? Or why can't I just, like, take it easy and stand for a little bit? Or why can't I just walk? I'm still going kind of the right. I'm still moving, right? I'm walking. Everybody grows at their own pace. Don't use that as an excuse to grow your pace. Grow at God's pace he has for you. Thank you very much. You see? You have people who are trying to get to trip you up from messing up the race. Because Satan stops having run the race, that means they're not going to be used for God. And if Satan can't have your soul, he just wants to render you ineffective for him. He's going to do whatever he can to maximize your inefficiency for Christ. He's going to maximize it. So if you can't have your soul, the next best thing is to have you just be a wicked, filthy sinner, just like the world. So then when other sinners come by and they're on the path of destruction, they say, hey, wasn't that someone who ran in the race? See, I knew they'd fall out. I knew they'd quit. I knew it. They're no better, no worse than I am. Because they're sitting in the same seat I am. Sad. So when it comes to running this race, we need to be mindful of all these things. Being in the Word and prayer is so important. Not just reading, but like we say all the time, is meditating. Let it come through your eyes, into your brain, and into your heart, and live out what you learn and what you see in the Word of God. Because it's a race. It's going to hurt sometimes. And like I said, you can't be worried about 16 miles from now. Just take it one step, 1 yard, 1 mile at a time. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, Lord, we sure are thankful that Lord, you don't give up on us even when we fall out of the race and we stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful or, listen to ungodly counsel. Lord, we pray that we would all be cognizant of the fact that we need to press hard and move forward for Christ and press towards the mark, Lord, that you have for the high calling of Jesus Christ. We ask that you'd be with the rest of the service and this week and bless these people for coming out for Sunday night service. We love you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.